Last week, I spoke about the three aspects of Jesus that caused many to turn towards him and to put him to death. Those three things were his glory, his wisdom, and his judgment. Today, as we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, there are two aspects of Christ's kingship that I would like to focus on. The first is his judgment, and the second is his redemption. The Lord judges perfectly. He judges everything. There is nothing that is not under his judgment. There is nothing that he does not see. In some sense, that should cause us some level of fear. Because even as little kids, we think, maybe we got away with this one. And some of that never goes away completely. But even we can be blamed for those things of which we do not know that are wrong. Why? Because we are called to form our consciences in line with the truth. So at the end of the gospel, it said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I came to give testimony to the truth." The truth is the standard. Our conscience is not the standard. The truth is the standard. We are asked and we are called in our time here on earth to seek out the truth with great vigor. And to the degree that we seek it out and we encounter it, that we submit ourselves to that truth. Now, studying philosophy and all these kinds of things, you encounter these profound truths, and yet somehow we are not overcome by them. And so the people who are saints are those who encounter the truth and completely submit themselves to that truth. Most of us find ourselves finding some type of excuse or giving some type of explanation for why maybe it doesn't apply completely to us. And so, in some sense, the judgment of Christ can bring us great fear. And so we have to submit our intellect to the Lord. We have to submit our will, you know, and that kind of gets along with what I was saying before, that sometimes we see the truth, we know the truth, and yet we don't always do what we know we ought to do. And so we need to train our will, and the church gives us some beautiful ways to help do that. But then we also have to submit our heart, all our hopes, our desires, to the Lord. And that means in everything, you know. Recently I was talking with someone, and they were talking about, you know, staying physically fit, needing to spend so much, you know, certain amount of time every day in the weight room, along with, you know, spending so many minutes or hours in the chapel praying, needing to do their studies, this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, you seems like you want to get back in shape to the degree that you were this summer, but you don't have the same amount of time as you did this summer. So is it rational for you to try to get in shape to the same degree that you were in this summer? And why? What's the point? Did you ask the Lord to what degree you should be in good shape? Because we have to submit everything to the Lord. He said, well, Father, I feel like it's a good thing for me to be physically fit, and that it's a good thing for me to even look good. I said, well, that's true. So it is good that we pursue excellence. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing excellence. But we always have to ask before the Lord honestly, is this the excellence you want me striving for? Or is there another kind of excellence of which I'm not quite sure of, but I find great confidence in this level of excellence, and so I like to continue to pursue this excellence? But we always have to submit our own idea of excellence to the excellence to which Christ the King calls us to. And we will be held responsible for those areas where we know the Lord has called us to and we have not yet subjected ourselves to. Now, moving on to Christ the Redeemer. Now, we can have great fear because of Jesus' judgment, but as I was reflecting on Christ the King, the Redeemer, I was just imagining a king coming into a city wherein I was a slave, and that I worked tirelessly for my slave owner who never treated me well at all. And I thought, now I would be excited for that king to come to set me free. And so the great joy is that Christ the King judges everything, but he also has the power to redeem us from everything to the degree that we allow him to. And so while we are enslaved to sin, we have a great Savior. Oh, happy fault of Adam that would win for us such a Savior, that of Jesus Christ, that he would come and that he would humble himself to the greatest humility of man, so that man in his brokenness might be able to acknowledge and recognize Jesus Christ as one who shares everything in with us except sin. And that the King, as great and as powerful and such a judge as he is, he comes to redeem us. He comes to set us free so that we might know his glory, that we might share in his kingship, that we might share in the riches of his kingdom. So when Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, comes into that city to conquer it and to set us free, he doesn't just set us free from our slaveship, he elevates us to be a member of his courts. What a great gift that is. And I find in today's gospel, the gospel being so ironic, that this person in the place of great leadership says, "Are you a king with great authority?" But little does he know that he's standing before the king who is absolutely powerful. But he's absolutely humbled himself. And so today, as we come here to this holy sacrifice of the Mass, we come before the great King who humbled himself to take on our humanity, to take on all of our sin. And because he has humbled himself so much, so ought we humble ourselves with absolute humility, because he's not only a just judge, he is a glorious Redeemer. And so as we come here to the altar, we give him thanks and praise for being Jesus Christ, the great High Priest, the great King.